All right, here's a good place to talk about an important issue. I call it controlling conversations. Observe any conversation and ask the question, who's controlling that conversation? The answer is the one asking the questions. This is quite contrary to what many people think. Many people think the person who's talking the most is controlling it. Not true. The Collins Dictionary gives the best definition for the type of control being described here. Collins reads, "If something is under your control, you have the power to make all the important decisions about the way it is run." Watch an interviewer on TV asking questions of the interviewee. Who's controlling it? The interviewer. Perhaps the best interviewer of all times is Barbara Walters. There isn't any doubt that she controls all conversations. Controlling a conversation isn't wrong unless your intent for doing so is deceitful. If you're asking questions of someone to help them get what they want, it's very admirable. Simply put, always be the one asking questions. Where the technique comes in is when they turn the table on you and ask you a question, which shifts the control to them. How you handle this marks a great communicator. The technique is, anytime you're asked a question, answer briefly, don't brush it off, then ask a question to gain back control. Let's go to a quick live call so you can hear an example of this technique. We'll pick back up with the ad call with Madison. Pay specific attention to when she asks a question and how I answer her, but immediately ask another question that puts me back in control.
And make a lot of money. Okay, four things.
Should we leave the tab open?
Yes, please.
You can add something more later?
Exactly.
Okay, good. All right.
So
well,
what is this product? What does the job entail?
Basically, working with a device with a consumer, and so you'd be interacting with a consumer in a sales type of a position, and then on a sales development training as well, further on down the road. Would you be completely afraid of straight commission?
No, I've worked on straight commission before. Obviously, I'd like to see what the numbers look like and so forth. But no, I'm not completely opposed to that, no.
It's your complete but brief answers to their questions that cause the prospect to not feel interrogated. If you find your prospect is matching your brief length of answer, take a little longer in your replies. Just don't go on and on. Share something brief, say 15 to 30 seconds or so, and then ask your prospect a question. A professional does not blab about himself. He's interested in the prospect. And don't talk about the wonderful business you just got involved in. That may come up later. In the qualifying step, you're just being interested in the prospect and finding out what he or she needs, wants, and doesn't want. Okay, I've given you several qualifying scripts to use and also scripts on how I get below the prospect's surface response, as well as how to control conversations. Now I'll give you a script that I use that I call the direct approach. I use it primarily in my warm market and when my greeting didn't lead into a conversation about business or if I've not talked to a person for a very long time. However, always attempt to do a proper greeting and qualify. So here's the way the script sounds. Hi, John. I'm calling to talk business, but first, how are you? Another one would be, John, we've been friends for a while and we've never really discussed business. Would you be opposed if we did? Here's another one. Have you ever thought of a business outside of whatever his profession is, law, accounting, bookkeeping, whatever it is? Another one would be, I've got a business idea. Would you be open to seeing something on it or are you completely satisfied now? Let's hear a live call. This live call is of someone I met in the gym. With this call, I use a direct approach. I actually use two different direct approaches. The call also has some good getting below the surface examples as well. I'll insert the chime just before both of the direct approach examples. It won't be cutting anything out. It will just be there as a marker for you that the direct approach is coming up. The first chime will come shortly after the call starts as I'm using the direct approach to set up the call. Then the second chime comes immediately after the greeting, but before the qualify begins. Just as a heads up, the greeting lasts about 3 to 4 minutes.
Hello.
Is this Joel?
This is Joel.
Hey, Joel. My name is Tim Sales. You and I met the other day at the gym. We exchanged business cards. Do you remember me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do? Sure.
Yeah, I do.
All right, what do I look like? Do you really remember me?
I do remember you, yes.
Okay, you and I just started talking, and I found a couple of things intriguing, and I have an idea that may or may not be interesting to you or not, but would just like to explore it. Do you have a second?
Yeah.
What kind of work is it that you do? I remember you telling me that you were in aerospace. What's like your typical day like?
I'm a project manager. I have a small staff of about 6 engineers that work for me, and our main job is to take product, usually it's a physical product, and take that product and take it from early development all the way through final delivery, production, hand it over to whoever the end user is. Typically, these are physical type projects. So,
physical, like what?
In this case, we're dealing with very expensive multi-million dollar tools.
Huh.
The company that I'm working for is building major assemblies for the Joint Strike Fighter.
Joint Strike Fighter?
Yep, the F-35, the next generation fighter.
F-35, I'd say that's next generation. The last one I remember is like the F-18.
Yeah, I don't know. They've got the, since then they brought out, an F-117 and an F-22. Those are probably the latest versions, but yeah, my company builds the F-18 as well. So.
Oh, sweet. How about the F-14? Do you build that too?
My company built the F-14 as well, yes.
Oh, man, I love the Tomcat. I think those are so cool.
Yeah, they're a great aircraft.
I have a photo. It's very, very rare. There was a guy on an airplane that ended up sharing it with me. He sent it to me later. It's an F-18, and there was an aircraft beside it that was taking a photo and just happened to snap it at precisely the moment that it broke the sound barrier. And there was some kind of it looks like a big round...
condensation cloud?
Yeah.
It's a low-pressure scenario where it develops a cloud around somewhere around the body of the aircraft.
Joel, it's the most amazing photograph I've ever seen, and I would have swore that somebody photoshopped it in.
Yeah, it's. I've got some pretty interesting photos of B-2, my company builds that aircraft as well, doing the same thing. So maybe I'll send you some if you're interested.
Oh, heck yeah, man. I'm so fascinated with these things. Because this particular one, it actually looks like the aircraft is like coming out of something.
Right.
Because
right.
It's right around the tail, this round circle thing, but yet there's no cloud behind it and no cloud in front of it, but it looks like it's coming out of something.
Right.
And so it's just really, really cool.
Yeah, they travel right with the aircraft I've seen them travel at low levels off Point Magoo area for, as far as the eye can see with that cloud, hanging around both F-18s and F-14s.
Wow. Yeah, I was just thinking, my gosh, the airplane that was taking the photo had to be going at the sound barrier or had to be at that speed in order to do that.
Of course, yeah.
To take that. That's really, really cool stuff. So would you have any reason to look at something outside of that? In other words, if you're totally, completely happy with that, what you feel you're contributing, what you're getting out of life financially and what you're not getting out of life, in other words, what you could be doing with your time otherwise. If you're totally happy, then, we leave it at that. But if there's an inkling of something else that you'd want out there, then I'd like to pursue something with you. Would you have a reason to look at a business outside of what you're doing?
Yeah. I've thought about it in the past, yeah, sure. And, I think about it, every now and then when I'm not, swamped at work, yeah.
When it's real bad, I start thinking about what else could I do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stress levels get too high.
Listen to the way I get below his surface answer about that he had thought about a business.
So what's come to your mind in terms of what you'd like to do?
I have looked at potentially somewhere down the line opening up my own business, a consulting type firm that would consult to aerospace, primarily dealing with project management.
Good. What's stopped you from achieving that or going after that?
Life.
Life.
Yeah, life in general.
Is it financial? Is it time-wise? What's kind of stopped you from that?
I think it's been a little of both of those and other diversions. I have a daughter, so there's life, kid issues, home
sure.
issues that go on, as well as the job itself, I realize that I'm in the middle of transitioning. The company has a lot of opportunities at this point, so I'm trying to make the most of my time, my age, everything that I can take advantage of right now to achieve whatever that plateau is within the company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then I have a goal, you know, at some given point to perhaps pursue more of this consulting, even maybe pull my wife into it at some given point as well.
Mm-hmm.
All those things, as well as, I'm not exactly certain about financial, to be honest with you. I don't know that it would require, you know, it's not like going out and opening up a Starbucks franchise, which, by the way, I don't even think you can open up a Starbucks franchise, but you get my point, you know. You're talking about a lot of capital outlay. I don't think it's that type of business, nor does it require that type of capital.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that that's necessarily a big factor.
Right. Yeah, because there would have to be the survival resources while you get the business up and running.
Yeah.
You know, where with a franchise such as Starbucks, well, first thing you'd have to do is move the other 5 stores over a little bit so you could squeeze yours in.
Exactly. Right.
You know, that would be the first obstacle. But then, of course, you're going to have to get the employees and you're going to have to get the inventory and then pay the space that you're going to be occupying,
right?
Things like that. So there's but in consulting, you don't have those particular startup costs, but you do have your living burn rate that you have to run through.
Right. And the other thing is, I have been involved in some businesses in the past that were one was retail, and there is overhead, a lot more overhead than a consulting type business. There is all the worries of having all these employees if they're going to show up on time. So I certainly would want to stay out of that kind of business.
Right. I totally agree with you.
I'm about to ask the key question in this phone call to get the relevant information why Joel would look at a business. Pay close attention.
And if you had this consulting business, do you think it would give you the dream that you have? In other words, what is it that you would say, you know what, ultimately what I'd like to do is blank. And if that is living on a yacht, you know, if that's too personal and you don't want to tell me that, that's fine. But
well, I guess you're asking me the question, what do I want out of this?
What does it give Joel?
It would give me more financial freedom, which I don't know if that's living on a yacht or just having the ability to, at some given point in my life, 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road, that if I choose, I can have a lot more, certainly I would have a lot more control over my own, you know, destiny from a financial standpoint. Be able to leave maybe there'd be some legacy, more of a legacy, a larger legacy for my my children, my daughter. That's
awesome, man.
To pinpoint it to, yeah, I want to, you know, live on the beach. Well, yeah, of course I would like to live on the beach, but, you know, that's farther down the importance chain.
Yeah. So leaving a legacy for your daughter, as well as be able to have just more control over your own time and your own finances, are right now what you can see is that you want to achieve.
Exactly.
And you feel as though that the consulting business would do that?
I think it's a good opportunity to do it without being heavily soaked with a lot of upfront costs.
Good. Yeah. I can see that.
All right. There were a lot of good lessons in that call. The primary one was how I use the direct approach. You also got to hear that I have one more sound for you. I didn't tell you about that sound before because I wanted it to surprise you. That bell sound you heard is what I use to indicate that we've located that very valuable thing our prospect wants. I want to get your ears calibrated to hear the exact moment when the prospect says their need, want, or don't want, because that is what a professional networker is all about. They find this thing a person wants, and they help them get it. So my dream, Tim Sales' dream, is that whenever you hear your prospects say their real need, want, or don't want, that a bell goes off in your head, and that bell indicates that you can now be of service to someone. You can help someone now. All right. Can you tell where my passion is? All right, let's move on to qualifying purchase leads.